Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Brent, I didn't give you these, but I'm going to just continue to go 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. 22. By faith, Joseph, when he had died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Thank you, Father, for your word. Bless it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints of God, we've been in the book of Hebrews, and we've been talking about faith, and we've been looking at the patriarchs of faith. We looked at Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Isaac. And tonight, we're going to look at Isaac. Amen. And as we look at Isaac, amen, I just want you to keep in mind as we go through these verses, keep in your mind, amen, the thought, amen, that, hallelujah, they believe in a real blessing. All right? And I want you to look at the great links they go through between Isaac and Jacob and Esau, the great pains they go through to get this blessing from the Lord. And it shows not only Isaac wanting to impart this blessing, but the brothers pretty much almost fighting over this blessing. It shows how much they believed in the blessing. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. And I'm telling you that if we ever get to a place where we believe in the blessing, like they believed in the blessing, amen, watch the shift that's going to happen in our lives. Anybody hear me up in here? You wouldn't want to leave before the benediction after service if you believed in the blessing. Anybody hear me up in here? You would lay hands more often on your kids and speak and pray over them if you believed in the power of a blessing. Amen. And so we're going to look at that a little bit. It's going to be a little bit unorthodox. Amen. We focus in on verse 20, just about Isaac. Amen. Blessing Jacob and Esau. And we're actually going to go back to Genesis 27. So if you have your Bible, just come back with me to Genesis 27. And we're going to look at it for a little while. Amen. And I believe that, amen, God's going to bless us with some good time. And amen, we should be able to do this in about 30, 35 minutes. Amen. And so as we look at Genesis 27, we're just going to read and kind of talk a little bit. Amen. Because we're talking about Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau. And it begins, amen, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. So here we are in Genesis 27, and Isaac is getting older. He's getting so old, excuse me, that his eyes are beginning to fail him. And Isaac, amen, believes that death is imminent. Amen. And so in verse 2, he says, and he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. It can happen at any time. He says, now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Somebody say venison. All right. The thing about Isaac that people don't know is that Isaac liked wild game. Amen. He had a soft spot for some wild game cookouts. Amen. He loved the venison, the deer meat. Amen. And so Isaac tells his eldest Esau, take your bull and go hunt and gather me some. Go harvest me something and get me some venison. He not only says go get some venison, but look at verse 4. And make me savory meat. Somebody say savory meat. What he was telling Esau, amen, was to put it in a grave. Amen. Just don't kill it, but go ahead and smother it. Go ahead and smother it. Amen. Make me something good with it. Make a stew with it. I don't know what you want to do with it. Put a gumbo with it. What you say, babe? First you cook your roux. Amen. But whatever you do, whatever you do, Miss Jen, whatever you do, amen, I just don't want you to go hunt it and get it. I want you to cook me something good. Smother that thing. You know how to do that. All right? And so here we go. He says, make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, watch this, and that my soul, because that's where a blessing comes from. It don't come from the mouth. It comes from the soul. It's an eternal thing decreeing another eternal thing. It's not, oh, God have mercy. He said that my soul may bless thee, watch this, before I die. Okay? Now, this sounds good, all right? But it's not good. It's not good because Esau is not supposed to get the blessing. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Something can sound right. It can seem right. But if God says another thing, then it's not right. You see, because it seemed right because Esau was the eldest. It seemed right because he was the most, amen, talented amongst the two, amen. But we've learned, amen, that God don't see as man see, but that God sees the heart, amen. And so what I want to do is, amen, number one, just explain this blessing that we're talking about here. This is the Abrahamic blessing he's about to pronounce on Esau. And the Abrahamic blessing, amen, it entails some things. It includes some things. It includes the land, right? Amen. The land of Shem, because it went from Shem to all the way to Abraham, and Abraham, amen, and Abraham's about to put it on Esau. And so it includes the land rights, but it's not only the land rights, Brother Carl. It's the promise. It's the promise. Not just the promised land, but the promised Messiah. The promised seed. All right? This part of the blessing where God tells Abraham, through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. It's a promised seed blessing. The seed that God spoke when he spoke in the garden, he said, hallelujah. But he told Eve, he said, but your seed, whoo, between your seed and the devil's seed is going to be enmity. But your seed is going to crush his head. It was a seed blessing. It was the messianic blessing. And it seemed right for him to do to Esau, but it was all wrong. And to understand, amen, the fallacy of Isaac's thinking, we got to have a flashback. You know, in the movies, when you're at a movie and you get a memory, it's a flashback. When a movie get all fuzzy, we about to have a flashback moment. All right? Look at Genesis 25. Let's explain this. Why it shouldn't go to Esau. When you look at Genesis 25, starting at verse 21, look what it says. Hallelujah. Genesis 25, 21. Bible says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. This is before they had children. Rebekah couldn't have children, amen, and Isaac prayed. You see, Isaac had that blessing on his life. He was the son of Abraham. And the sons of Abraham, amen, whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Anybody hear me up in here? Some of the men of God don't know their power up in here. And Isaac, hey God, your wife waiting on something for you to entreat God for. Hey God. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was what? He was entreated of him. God moved for Isaac. Man of God, if you knew the power you had to pray things over your wife, over your children, over your family, over your business, you would be praying a lot more. Anybody hear me up in here? And the Lord was entreated for him. This was one of the texts that I was able to pray seed upon my wife. Anybody hear me up in here? That gave me the faith to pray seed. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. And that's just not for pregnancy. That's, whoo, that's for everything you want to give birth to. Let me keep going. And he was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, she did what? She conceived. And the children, all right, because you know God always gives you more than what you ask for. He said, Lord, I want a child. The Lord gave her twins. And the children struggled together. Watch that. Within her. And she knew something was wrong. So she said, if it be so, why am I thus? If it's this the blessing of the Lord, what's happening? And she went to inquire the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, watch this, two nations are in thy womb. It's two nations in that. All right? I not only bless you with seed because you asked for seed, but I gave you twins, but it's going to go beyond twins. It's going to actually be two nations and two manner of people. Two nations and two different kind of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall be stronger than the other people. And watch this. The elder, watch this divine decree right here. This oracle, this divine oracle of God. He says, the elder shall do what? Shall serve the younger. Man, Isaac, what you doing putting a blessing on the elder? When God already told you that the elder would be under the younger. I know what it's supposed to be, but God done already decreed a thing. And we listen to God and his truth instead of tradition. Come on, give y'all some glory. Watch this. Let's just keep reading for a second. 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. They call him Harry. That's what Esau means. It not only means red, it means hairy. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out of his hand and took hold of Esau's heel. This is going to be important. His brother took hold of what? His heel. So Esau came first. He was the elder. Jacob comes next, but he's got his hand on the heel of Esau. And his name was called Jacob, which means supplanter or trickster, is where we get the New Testament name James from. Supplanter or trickster. His name was Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old. He was 60 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter. Remember the venison. Go hunt and get me some venison. A man of the field. Watch this. And so Esau had some great talents. He was a man of the field. He was a warrior. He was almost like Nimrod. He was an excellent hunter. All right? This dude could be out there in the field, live out there. He was excellent. And the ball could burn. He probably cooked with black pots. He got it from his mama, Kip. You see? The Bible said, and Jacob was a plain man. That plain, amen, tawan in the Hebrew, means that he was ordinary. There was nothing special about him. But in that same Hebrew, hallelujah, context, that word ordinary means ordinary by appearance. Ordinary in the physical. Meaning that if you just looked at him, he just looked like everybody else, but there was something different about Jacob on the inside. Woo! Anybody hear me up in here? On the inside, that Hebrew word, hallelujah, tawam, it means, amen, to be pious. It means to have integrity. It means, amen, to be striving for perfection. It means that Jacob, though he wasn't talented in the natural, he wasn't the mighty hunter, he wasn't the one that can cook, he wasn't the one that would, hallelujah, cater to the carnal desires of his daddy, amen, but his other daddy, his heavenly father, amen, he was right with him. Anybody hear me up in here? Jacob was the most spiritual out of the two. He was the one who loved God the most. And if I'm getting ahead of myself, just let the Spirit lead me. He was so spiritual. He believed in the blessing so much, loved God so much. He was like the songs we were singing in worship. I'm desperate for you. I can't live without you. What can I do? I can't breathe without you. And that's how Jacob was. Jacob was in his life, God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. God, listen, I'll make a deal with you. Give me your blessing. I'm a tenth of all I have is yours. He was the one that wrestled with the angel and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. This Jacob was a, woo! He was a spiritual man, but he was a trickster. He was a supplanter, but for spiritual things. It was never, it was for God. It was for God. He wanted the blessing. He wanted God. So he was the most spiritual out the two. And that's why he grabbed the heel of Esau. Because he wanted the blessing. Even coming out the womb, he wanted the blessing. He was grabbing the heel to pull Esau back in the womb so he could get out first. From a child, we know. From a baby, hallelujah, we know. You see? But how many people know that you could struggle for something that's already yours? Woo! You could struggle, you could fight, you could war for something that's already yours. It's already been decreed and declared that it was Jacob's. The elder shall do what? Shall serve the younger. You see? But why would Isaac do that? Why would he want to bless Esau, get him all ready to be blessed? Look here, hallelujah, at the next verse. Hey God, in chapter 25, it says, and Isaac, in verse 25-28, and Isaac loved Esau. Esau was his favorite. All right? Why did he love him? He loved him because he did eat of his venison. You know, they say the way to a man's heart is his what? Is his, oh God. And Esau would get in there with them big black pots, boy. Esau smothering up in there, boy, and it smelled good. And Isaac loved him. And when you study Isaac from any, hallelujah, position in scripture, you're going to learn that Isaac wasn't one of the most spiritual patriarchs. He wasn't. It's not too much written about Isaac. He still was favored. He still had the blessing, and the blessing flowed through him. But he didn't do as much as Abraham, and he's not going to do as much as Jacob's going to do. All right? He had a lot more carnality about him. He was more physical than his daddy and more physical than his son. He was living in the natural. And because of his natural inclination, he favored one of his sons for physical reasons. I want to warn you. Favoritism amongst your kids is wrong anyway. All right? But if you go favor one, you better favor them for spiritual reasons. Don't favor them for how they cook or how they look or how they dress. Don't even favor them for the talents they possess. This one can run. This one can jump. This one can sing. None of those things mean anything in eternity. Isaac favored Esau for physical reasons. And it wasn't the right thing to do. Because he was favoring somebody. And God was favoring somebody else. He was choosing and picking somebody, but God was choosing and picking somebody else. And not only in the realm of your children, but in every realm that you are in. Don't favor, don't look up to people because of physical reasons. Go spiritual. See how much they love God. See how much they pray. See how much God moved heaven and earth for them. Don't look at the countenance, the Lord says. For God don't see as man see it. God see it the heart. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. When you pick a church, when you pick a job, when you pick a, oh God, a spouse. You see? Don't look for no Esau. You better get you a Jacob. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Jacob was the spiritual one. And listen, Esau was the fleshly one. He was the carnal one. Sure, he was the most athletic. He had the hunt down. He could ride the horse. He'll bring it in. He'll cook it. Amen. He was super, uber talented. But he didn't have nothing for God. When it's time to pray, time to read the word, time to worship, In fact, he didn't care so much about the presence of God, about the blessings of God. We're going to learn later on, amen, that he sold his birthright to Jacob, who was hungry for spiritual things. He was hungry. He was hungry. I wanted God. Boy, come in hungry, famished. Give me some of that pottage. He done cook a cubillon. Jacob said, oh, you can have it. Give me your birthright. He's so unspiritual, he don't care about his birthright. You say, Pastor, but he was going to die. Listen, he wasn't going to die if he had the birthright. How you going to die and then Jesus got to come through your seed? But he was so unspiritual. He was so carnal. Married pagan women. That's Esau. All right? So that's the flashback. Let's go back to 27 for our run out of time. Come on. 27. In Genesis 27, look at verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. Now, I won't say she was ear hustling. But Rebekah was ear hustling. She was by the tent, baby. She was by the tent. Esau went in there and Isaac gave his command and Rebekah was running. I was going to say she had the glass on the wall, but it was fabric. So she didn't have to. Y'all know how y'all used to do that. Put the glass on the wall. Listen. So Rebekah heard. Now, the thing about Rebekah was more spiritual than her husband. She was more spiritual than her husband. It's just the fact of life. In every marriage, you're going to have one that's more spiritual than the other one. And Rebekah was that. And Rebekah remembered the word of God. She remembered that God said, the elder shall serve the younger. And she would not go against the command of the Lord. Neither did she want Isaac to go against that decree. She trusted in the oracle of God. And I'm going to tell you, Isaac was wrong. Now, when you're a leader of something, when you do wrong, amen, your wrong has catastrophic effects down the chain of command. We are going to watch Isaac's wrong produce a chain reaction. And a lot of people blame Jacob, but we got to go up. And a lot of people blame Rebekah, but we got to go up. Because in the garden, God says, Adam, where art thou? You see, it was Isaac's wrong that started the chain reaction. Because Isaac wasn't in his right place doing the right thing. Now Rebekah, amen, seemed like she got to push something through, force something so she could get God's will done. All right? Now, she shouldn't have done it. She shouldn't have done it. It was a faith thing. Because when you trust God, you're not going to worry about whatever Isaac say. He could have put his hand on Esau. If God didn't command that blessing, it would have been an empty head putting an empty hand on another empty head with no blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But she just didn't trust. Woman of God, where are you in here? I know you might be the prayer warrior, the family. I know you might know the word. I know your husband might be like Isaac. He got the blessing on him, but he's just not all what he can be. Don't be a trickster. Don't be conniving. But Pastor, I'm doing it that God get the glory. I understand that. But you're going around the mountain the wrong way. It's not the way to get God's glory. God's going to get his glory. God's going to have his way. Who's king? Is it God or is your husband? You just submit. You do what you got to do. And the Lord going to work it out. He's faithful. He's faithful. Look at his record. Look at the things that you've gotten, the things that you've done. Even though your husband will say, I ain't doing it. Hadn't he come through for you before? He's going to come through for you again. Come on, give y'all some glory in this house. Women of God, stop moving out of order. Stop moving out of order. There's no reason to do that. Don't move out of order. Stay in order. God's going to get his glory. You see, the fallacy with Rebekah is that she was living on a philosophy that the end justifies the means. Meaning I'm trying to get to a godly end so I can use any means that I want. And that might work in humanity. That might work in America, but it never works in the word of God. God wants you to stay in line, stay in order, do things the right way, and trust the consequences and the results to him. Come on, give y'all some glory. Woo! But Isaac set off a chain reaction. He did. Just by proposing, amen, to go ahead and bless Esau. And let me tell you something. Listen, I got to speed it up. He's going to make Rebekah and Jacob deceive. They're going to operate in deception right here. And you know the story. If it's venison he wants, if he wants something smothered, who better to smother something in the black pots than the woman who taught the son how to smother, because the fruit don't fall far from the tree. So Rebekah said, if it's smother he want, I'm going to smother something for him. I'm going to cook it up. For our northern folks, smother is not the actual, amen, taking of oxygen from a person. It's when we put some good meat in the pot, we cover it, we put a little kitchen bouquet, we got some water in there, we make a gravy, and it tastes really good. All right, that was Louisiana 101. But listen. So Rebekah said, I can cook. I can smother some chicken, some venison, some. Woo! But Jacob, like, he going to know it's me. You're going to put on Esau's clothes. But Esau is hairy. He going to feel, I ain't got all that hair like that hairy man. The same goat that we use to get the meat, we're going to take your skin. That boy must have been hairy. Boy feel like a goat. So they put the goat skins over the skin of Jacob. You see, so they concoct this scheme, this deception. Now, let me tell you this. You say, well, Pastor, at least they got it done. Remember, the end never justifies the means. And whenever you deceive or you do something, remember the way life works. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So you got to watch what you do, even though you're doing it for God. Don't do the wrong thing to get a right result. Anybody hear me up in here? Because what you sow, you're going to reap. Now watch this. Jacob sowed deception. And from that deception, he's going to reap deception for the rest of his life. Are you hearing me right here? If he would have just waited on God. If he would have just done it the God way. All right, God would have gave him the blessing. And he went ahead and started deceitful practices. And guess what? Every time something happened in Jacob's life, listen, he went on down there to get him a wife from Laban. Guess what happened? Deception. They gave him Leah. You understand what I'm saying? Told him to serve 7 years for Rachel. He served 7, got Leah. Had to serve another 7, got Rachel. But it was 14 years he was deceived. All right? Start working for Laban, amen? They changed his wages 7 times. Guess what? Deception. Anybody hear me up in here? You see? All the way through his life, going down to his own very sons. Took a coat of many colors. Dipped it in the blood of a goat. A goat. A goat. Goat hair. Dip it in the blood of a goat. And say, is this your son's coat? Because he sowed deception, he reaped deception for the rest of his life. So be careful what you put into life. Because that's exactly what you're going to get out of it. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Yeah. When you lie, you will be lied to. When you steal, somebody going to steal from you. It goes all the way to when you shed the blood of an innocent man. By man shall your blood be shed. You know? Old songwriter say, I've known and I've found. What goes up? Y'all know the song. Right. We're talking about the blessing. And remembering in your mind, look at all they doing to get this blessing. Now, I wonder, watch this. I wonder if we still reaping the results of Jacob's deception. Us Hebrews. Didn't Jacob play like Esau? Isn't somebody playing like us? Now, what other brothers would say, they would say it like this. Jacob playing like Esau. Now Esau playing like Jacob. And I don't quite ascribe to that just yet. You know, I think that's Japheth, but whatever it is. But the consequences of Jacob's actions are still with us to this day. Somebody dressing up like Israel. Huh? Somebody dressing up like Jacob. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. We're almost done. Let's look at 27:18. Remember, we're talking about when Isaac blessed Jacob. And we're looking at, amen, hallelujah, the struggle they're going through for just this pronouncement of blessing. And it's just an evidence, a testimony to how much faith they had in this blessing of Abraham, in this God of Abraham. And so here we go. In verse 18, here we go. We end that with Jacob and his daddy. In 27:18, and he came unto his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I." Isaac said, "Who art thou, my son?" First lie, 19. And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau." That's number one lie. "Thy firstborn." Number two lie. "I have done according as thou badest me." Number three lie. "You ain't went hunting, and you ain't got that meat. Your mama cooked that, bro." Right? "Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." You see, the thing about lying is that neurologically speaking, once you tell one lie, you have a propensity to continue telling lies after that. That's why it's not good to start lying. And they did a study, amen, in a university in London, amen. And it's a university college in London. And there's a part in our brain called a amygdala, all right? And it's the place that controls our emotions and our memory. And they did an MRI while people was lying, and they saw that with every lie, the amygdala lessens its activity. Now remember, it controls our emotions. So every lie numbed it to where it felt less. It was less emotion. And it got to the point to where the amygdala didn't even budge, didn't even move, didn't even, no activity in it. And so what you got there, amen, is somebody who could lie with no regret, no feeling, straight face, amen. And listen, some of us done been there before. Some of us done been there before. And we watched Jacob, a pious man, a righteous man, a man of integrity. He coming in there to tell one lie, amen. But let me tell you something. You could never tell just one lie. More lies going to always follow. So it's good to just don't start. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. One lie always leads to another. Look at 21. Come on, y'all. Stay up with me. Stay up. 21. Come on, we almost done. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." I don't know if Isaac knew or what. Because you don't just ask your boy you want to feel him. Just give me so I can feel you. He must have knew something. And 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. And said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." Boy, that's going on in Israel right now. Whew. All right. The hands of Esau, but the voice of Israel. Listen. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed them. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" He asked him one more time. Because the Lord, amen, always provide a way of escape. He always going to give you one opportunity to get it right, to tell the truth. He says, "Are you my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. He's so carnal. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, watch this. See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord had blessed. Watch the blessing right here. Watch the blessing. And we sons and daughters of Jacob. So when I read this blessing, you got to put it on your life. Did you just hear me just now? You got to put it on your life. He gonna bless him with three things. And these things are yours if you can believe them. If you're here just to pass time, you know, just close your eyes right now. And the blessings that's supposed to be for you, others, we're going to pick it up. But if you really want to be blessed, put your mind on this blessing right here. And not just your mind, but your soul on it. Because there's three things that God is pronouncing upon your life, O sons and daughters of Israel. Watch this. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. All right? And plenty of corn and wine. Stop right there. The first blessing, Matthew Henry says, is the blessing of plenty. Prosperity, plenty. That blessing is yours. Plenty is yours. He says the dew of heaven and the fatness of earth. What this means is that this blessing has the power in it to where heaven and earth will agree, will concur, will work together until you are overflowing with plenty in your life. Both heaven and earth is working on your behalf. The weather working on your behalf. The soil working on your behalf. Hallelujah. Property working on your behalf. Everything in heaven and earth is working on your behalf so that you can have plenty. It don't have to rain, Isaac say. The dew gonna come in the morning. Woo! Like the dew on Mount Hermon. Everybody else dry, but the fog gonna roll up on your property and abide. I'm telling you, the heaven and the earth. You got to receive that. You got the blessing of plenty on your life. No matter what the devil say, no matter what the man, what man say, huh? Because God then said, heaven and the earth is there to bless me. Secondly, he says, we almost done. Look, he said, listen. He says here, where am I? 28. All right. He says in 29, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. The first blessing is plenty. The second blessing you're going to have to learn to receive is power. Let me say that again, y'all. You see, black folk ain't used to that word. Let me say that again. The blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is plenty and power. Power. Authority. Authority. Making you the head and not the above and not. Listen to me now. You're the son of a king. The daughter of a king. And rulership is your right. For the scepter shall never depart from Judah. Y'all ain't hearing me up in here. Ooh, my hands tingling. Hey, God! Woo! You better receive what I'm saying. If you can't receive that, oh, it's good. It's good. All the people that's supposed to be serving you, we gonna pick all that up. We're going to pick that up when you leave. Look at your neighbor and say, on your life is a blessing of plenty and power. You're going to be a boss on somebody's job. You're going to own your own business. You're going to be in that classroom instructing students. You're going to be, listen to me now. I'm trying to tell you something that you don't have the faith to receive, but I'm going to believe for you. You're going to be driving around town picking up checks. Hey, God, you're not only going to have the power for people to serve you, but you're going to have the gift of administration and delegation. You don't have to be there. You're going to have passive income. I'm telling you, Judah, you were born for this. Two things, plenty and power. And as if it was coincidence or happenstance, he tells them, he says, listen, he said, they're going to bow to you. He said, they're going to bow to you. He said, the nations, they're going to bow to you. Mother, sons, they're going to bow to you. I'm reminded of our vision scripture in Revelation 3. When he talks about the church of Philadelphia and us having the key of David. And he says in chapter 3, verse 9, that he was going to do something. He was going to do something. In Revelation 3, 9, he says, amen. He says that they're going to know that I've loved you. They're going to know that I've loved you. And I'm going to make those that say that they are Jews and are not, I'm going to make them bow down. And they're going to worship at your feet. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. They're going to worship. They're going to worship at your feet. Plenty and power. Here's the last one. We got to get out of here. Here's the last one. He says here, amen. Cursed be everyone that cursed thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee. Plenty, power, and Matthew Henry says this word, prevalence. Prevalence. Pastor, what's prevalence? Spell it for me. Pastor, it's my notes. P-R-E-V-A-L-E-N-C-E. One more time, Pastor. P-R-E-V-A-L-E-N-C-E. One more time. I can't do it. I can't do it one more time. Plenty, power, and prevalence. This prevalence is prevalence with God. It means, amen, power with God. It means that that God moves for you. He assists you. He blesses you. Hey, God. And you have so much prevalence with God, Israel, that those that curse you, God's going to curse them. You got power with God. Don't worry about your haters. Don't worry about people that do you wrong. Because when they do you wrong, God's going to do them wrong. But God never do wrong. He's going to do them wrong and still be right. Because he's going to do them wrong for doing you wrong. And he's going to make his wrong right. Come on now. That's why I don't worry about haters. Because of my prevalency. I have prevalence with God. The name Israel means prince of God. Prince with God. I mean you got power with God. I mean that when you open your mouth, God is attentive. If you need the rain to stop, he'll do it for you. You got power with him. Whatever you need, you got power with him. You see? So much power, not only when they curse you, they're going to be cursed when they bless you. When they bless you, you so much have a good standing with God because of your birthright. If anybody blesses you, they are going to get a blessing from the Most High God like they've never seen before. Can you see why they was fighting for this blessing? Can you see why they was arguing for this blessing? Because at that moment, it could have been us, sons of Jacob, sons of Israel, or somebody else. But Jacob said, nah, it ain't going down like that. And he did wrong, but couldn't you see the faith in his heart, even in the wrong that he was doing? That's how much he believed to dress up in goat skins. Now watch this. We are Israel. And whoever blesses us is going to be blessed. That's our prevalency with God. I got a message for China tonight. Got a message for China. They're struggling over there with that coronavirus. And I was preaching Sunday. And it hit me while I was preaching. And then when we got home, First Lady confirmed it, because the word is confirmed by two witnesses. And while I was preaching about the plague that was stayed at the threshing floor of Ornan, when David gave an offering, the plague was stayed. I got a message for China tonight. I got a message for China and everybody who loved the people of China. I got a message for you tonight. I got a message for Xi Jinping. I got a message for you tonight, President Jinping. I got a message for you. A plague was stayed in our Bible. 70,000 in less than 3 days had died. Your pestilence, as though it were, is 1,000 maybe. And the plague in the Bible was greater. It was stronger. And an offering stopped the plague. My Chinese brethren, here, the people of Israel. And I, as a representative of that people, a prophet amongst the people, I declare to you, as was spoken to Naaman, that there is a prophet in Israel and that there is still a God in Israel. And though man can do nothing with this virus, there is a God who sits high and looks low. And if you, my God, your enemies want this virus to continue because you are growing and your economy is going, hallelujah, out of the roof, out of the ceiling. Listen, your enemies want to keep this virus on you so that your economy won't pass up. Shall I say, the number one economy in the world at which I'm sitting in right now in Lafayette, Louisiana, the United States of America. But me as your brother don't want this virus to spread no further. I know the cure for the coronavirus is what I'm telling you. There is a God. There is a God. There is a God once more in Israel. You take your Bible, my Chinese brethren, and you turn your Bible to 2 Samuel 24 and 25. And you read for yourself how Jacob played, how David, hallelujah, stopped the plague. He stopped it with an offering. Right now, we tell in China, those who could believe the ancient scrolls of the Most High God, you want the plague to stay, do what David did. Give an offering. Give an offering. Where do I give an offering? Give an offering to Israel. Amen. It would be great if it was this church, but it don't have to be this church. You find a place where Israel is hurting. You go to Chicago. You go to LA. You go, hallelujah, to Little Rock, Arkansas. You go down to New Orleans. You go to Baton Rouge. My Chinese brothers and sisters, the plague can be stayed. You find your Israel and you give an offering to the Most High God, to a people with prevalence with God, power with God. The blessing has never changed. The blessing of Abraham has not changed. The blessing of Isaac has not changed. The blessing of Jacob has not changed. Those that bless the true Israel shall be blessed. Corona will be cured in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm giving you the cure because I believe my Bible. I don't know if y'all don't believe it. If you bless Israel, you gonna get yourself a blessing. Give to the Hebrews. And if you find it in your heart to give to this church, we will definitely put our cash tag on this video and also our website by which you can give. And I will give you a God guarantee. If the Chinese offer to this church and the plague is not stayed, I will return every single cent that you send. You know why I can make that guarantee? Because those that bless Israel gonna be blessed. Hey, his word! His word! His word! His word! His word! His word! I got the cure for Corona tonight. I got it tonight. I got it tonight. Because of that blessing that they was fighting for, that they was believing for. You see? And Jacob wound up with the blessing. The Bible says, amen, as we lead out in Numbers 24:19, that Jacob ended up with that blessing. And because of it, look what it says, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. That's that blessing that Jacob was fighting for. That Messiah, Jesus, would come through his loins, through his legacy. And that Jesus is here present with us tonight. Because where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Woo! Not only with the power to heal Corona. How many people think that Jesus got the power to heal the coronavirus? Huh? If in one moment the angel could stay a plague that kills 70,000 people and it's over. But Jesus could not only heal and cure the coronavirus, he can heal, cure, and save our sin-sick souls. Anybody hear me up in here? All we got to do is just come to him. We have not because we ask not. And I believe that, amen, many around the world is going to be listening to this video. And healing you of your sickness is only just solving of a temporary problem. But make no mistake about it. The cross wants to heal you of an everlasting, eternal problem. You see, for the wages of sin is death. And we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But 2,000 years ago, our God sent us a Savior. We call him Yahshua. Other languages is Jesus, Jesus, who died as a sacrifice for all of our sins. He died on the cross of Calvary's Hill, Mount Moriah. He was buried. And the third day he did what? He rose again. He gave us the promise that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're listening tonight, wherever you are, in this auditorium or in your living room, call on Jesus. Admit you're a sinner, believe in the cross, believe in the resurrection, and call on Jesus, and he'll save you. Let's pray. Somebody say, Most High God, you're still a healer. You're our champion, and you're our savior. Now, Lord, I admit I've made mistakes. I've sinned against you, but I believe that you died for all my sins. You were buried in a grave, and on the third day, you rose. Save me from my sins and heal my body and keep me in the hour of temptation. Keep in the trials. Keep me from the plagues that's coming upon the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give y'all some glory. There's a God in Israel. 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 There is a God in Israel. God in Israel. Corona can't handle it. I pray a blessing on you now. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you. Lift up his face upon you and bless you with shalom. Prosperity, shalom. Health, shalom. And peace. Love y'all. Be blessed. Shalom, Israel.